All good. طيب. We'll resume from verse number 41.
وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا.
And mention in the book, the Quran, to those who claim to attribute themselves to Ibrahim, the Christians and the Jews. Mention it to them specifically and to people generally. Mention in the book, the Quran, Ibrahim. Verily he was a man of truth, a prophet. Verily he was a man of truth, a prophet. إِنَّهُ كَانَ صُدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. Siddiq is not only truth as to what the translation gives. It's the highest level of being truthful. Siddiq. Siddiq has the level of being higher than just a normal person who is truthful. Otherwise, it would have been Sadiq. Siddiq is the person who has that absolute level of believing and he being truthful. Nabiya, a prophet. Notice how Allah Azza wa Jal began here by describing Ibrahim by the character of being truthful. Siddiqan Nabiya. And I'll tell you one thing, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Being truthful is what leads a person to be guided. Being truthful with yourself, with your Lord, and with the creation is what allows you to be guided. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to us in the authentic hadith that being truthful would lead to goodness, and goodness would lead to hellfire, to paradise. Being truthful will lead to goodness, and goodness will lead to paradise. And on the other hand, being a liar would lead to being arrogant, being the person of doing evil, and that would lead to the hellfire. So this is a very important character. And Allah Azza wa Jalla began with it, describing Ibrahim alayhi salam due to its significance in his life. Him being truthful is what led to him being the man he was. And this is what led on to him becoming or going through all the challenges and the trials that he was inflicted with later on.
إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا.
When he said to his father, O my father, why do you worship that which hears not, sees not, and cannot avail you in anything, cannot protect you in anything, cannot ward away any harm from you? Why do you worship that which is dumb? Does not hear, does not speak, does not see. And here, subhanAllah, يعني, notice Ibrahim alayhi salam, how he was directing his father with soft words, Ya Abati, O my father. And this is the gentlest of words used when he's addressing his father. Ya Abati, O my father. It shows you his manners, his character. It shows you how he was eager to guide his father and to help his father. He could have called him with the worst of names, but that's not going to benefit him in delivering the message. Yani, one thing that I want to share with you, and it's a reminder to myself, never let your style or your harshness be the reason why people reject the truth. Let it be that if they want to reject it, it's due to them being in denial to it, not due to them being in denial to your attitude and your behavior. Don't leave that to be an excuse. From your rahmah, from your mercy, from your great character, is that you should use the words that won't be a reason why people switch off. Rather, use the words while the people will think and ponder and reflect. And Ibrahim alayhi salam used that word here. And you'll find his approach is a manhaj. It's a methodology in giving da'wah. And the ulama have derived many, many, many lessons from these few words we're going to hear now. They give you styles of speech, how to address relatives. And one of the most powerful tools you can use with your relatives is emotion. Use your emotion with it. Let them feel that you care for them. Ya abati. This is what they call manhaj al-atifi, the emotional methodology. Believe me, it's taught at universities, the emotional one. Talking to your son, instead of saying to him, ya hamar, you donkey, as some people do, use the words that show him that you care. Yani, oh my son, oh dear one, use the words that make him feel like you are burning to see them in their path that are on. You're breaking apart. Yani, the words that describe how much you love them. Rasulullah did that with his people too. Yani, when he came to address even the leaders of Quraysh, yani, even when he came to address his uncle, he addressed him by Ya Am, oh my uncle, using that word of relationship. You're my uncle, oh my uncle, say the words and I will stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal as a witness to it. Say the words with his people, even with Quraysh. He calls them by the names that will not push them away. This is a very important one, brothers. Don't let your anger or your hatred to falsehood become of those who use the angry words that people cannot understand. Yes, we all should care for one another, and we should think really carefully about leaving the wrong, and we should think about it carefully that we are leaving our loved ones to burn and to be tortured. Yes, I know. But let your words, don't let that control your words. You control your words. Don't let your words come out in a way of, Ya sahib, a person of bid'ah, Ya Abu Dalala, Ya Abu Jahl, Ya Abu Lahab, Ya Jahil, Ya Anid. These words that come out, there's no justification to it. There's no justification to it. If you are me intending to give da'wah there, you are not. Who of us likes to be called like that when we are wrong? To be called Ya Jahil. Ya akhi, no one likes to be called the Jahil. Even the Jahil doesn't like to be called Jahil. True or not? The person who is a Jahil doesn't like the word Jahil. And the person who is a Anid, he's stubborn, doesn't like to be called Ya Stubborn. He doesn't like that word. He likes to be called with the words that would be inviting to him. Ya akhi. If he's someone, wallahi, he's a Muslim. Ya akhi. Oh dear one, use the words that are attractive. Ya abati, lima ta'budu? Ma la yasma, wa la yubsir, wa la yughni anka shay'a. Why do you worship that which does not listen, and does not see, and does not avail you from any harm? Now I notice here, he's using some common sense with him, some logic. Akhi, it's not that everyone understands like you. Some people really need to be given the basics. That which is very basic to you, to someone, it's not really as basic. You need to remind them of the basics. Give them the basics. Why do you do this? And this is a very, very beautiful approach. A learned person, isn't the one that can sit there and give sophisticated words. And every second word he says, it requires a dictionary on its own. You got to go find a dictionary that has it, and probably it's a word that has been lost and no longer used. Nah. The person of understanding is the one who can deliver the message in simple terms. Simple terms. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, isn't he the most learned of this ummah? Can't we say he's the most learned of prophets? In terms of him coming the last and knowing about things about the previous prophets and so on. Isn't he the most God-fearing? And we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he, at the end of the day, used the simplest of words describing things. Simplest of words. But wallahi, his simple words were a reason why great scholars derived rulings and made rulings from it. Simple words. So it's really not about being complicated. It's about being simple, being direct, being someone who's transparent, who's clear. Akhi, why are you doing this? Why is it that you concentrate on this? I would like to know. Tell me. Now you're asking him to think. And the next thing he's talking. But then give the questions that are really thoughtful, intriguing questions. You have questions that cause him to think. Then he continued saying,
Ya abati inni qad ja'ani min al-ilmi ma lam ya'tika fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiyya.
O my father, verily there has come to me of the knowledge that which came not to you. So follow me, I will guide you to a straight path. Now, he's advising his father, telling him, O father, I have learned something which you did not learn. Follow what I'm saying. Of course, notice despite the fact, Ibrahim did know more and was more learned than his father, you can see he still remained humble in front of his father. And this is a very important one in approaching people who are older than you, especially when you're dealing with parents. No father likes to be addressed as if he's the son and you're the father. They like to see some respect. They like to see humbleness on your behalf in front of them. And really, at the end of the day, it's not a matter of age. The truth is, it's not a matter of age. Ibrahim alayhi salam was speaking to his father, I had knowledge that you have not. It's not always about age, my dear brothers. It's about the tawfiq of Allah azza wa jal. It's about the inspiration and the aid of Allah azza wa jal coming to that individual. It's about a person striving in the cause of Allah azza wa jal. That is really what makes a person know more. Yes, the older person, without any doubt, have under their belt something which the younger people will never have until they live as long as they live, and that is probably in many cases experience. And that's why you are always required and advised to seek the advice of the elder people. But at the end of the day, it's not always about the age. And of course, this should not be said also with arrogance, where we walk around and boast around, it's not about age. No. We say that it's not a fixed rule. It's not a fixed rule all the time. And when a person is old and he has learnt and he's inspired by Allah Azza wa Jal, definitely the age plays a huge role there. Huge. Because of this experience that they have combined with the knowledge, with the patience, with them becoming of those who have seen, it all combines. But it should not be also, my dear brothers, that we approach people always with the approach of, I know more than you. Ibrahim alayhi salam used it here in the context where it was required. But it should not be that, wallahi, you come up and you say to your father, I know more than you, and I have learnt more than you. Use the humble approach where you can explain things to him without saying words that could be offensive. Ibrahim alayhi salam said it with all respect and said it with context, within the context of it being required to say that.
Ya abati la ta'budi shaytan, inna shaytan kana lirrahmani asiyya.
O my father, worship not shaytan, Satan. Verily, Shaytan has been a rebel against the most gracious Allah. He was someone who disobeyed the most gracious Allah. Every person, my dear brothers, who turns away from the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether he is worshipping a brick or a khashbe, or worshipping an angel, or worshipping a prophet, or worshipping a human, at the end of the day, him obeying the shaitan and worshipping other than Allah is worshipping the shaitan in reality. It's not really worshipping the prophet in reality, it's worshipping the shaitan. Yes, he obeyed the shaitan by doing it, and he's in reality worshipping the shaitan. At the end of the day, it's either worshipping Allah or the shaitan. Of course, do not understand it here that they don't direct their worship towards the prophets and so on. No, they direct it. But by them doing so, they are people who are obeying the shaitan and worshipping the shaitan besides to the prophets and so on. Is that understood? Tayyib. He said to him, do not worship the shaitan. Verily the shaitan was someone who transgressed and rebelled and disobeyed the most gracious, Ar-Rahman. Inna ash-shaytana kana lir-Rahmani 'asiyya. Again, notice him using the word Ar-Rahman again here. And I've spoken to you about the use of this word, this name, and its significance in such situations. Ya abati inni akhafu an yamassaka 'adhabun min ar-Rahman. يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيًّا. O my father, verily I fear lest a torment from the most gracious Allah should overtake you so that you become a companion of the shaitan in the hellfire. Now, again, he's warning his father of the punishment and the consequences if he is to disobey and worship other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And again, he used the name of Ar-Rahman. And I spoke about it before and there's no need to go over it again. فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّا. So that you become a companion of the shaitan. It's either the person is from the awliya of Ar-Rahman or the awliya of a shaitan. There's no third party. A person's either from the companions and from the friends and from the allies of Allah or the shaitan. There's no other one. There's no other one. It's either truth or falsehood. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. So what is after truth but falsehood? There's nothing but truth except falsehood. And a person, if he's not the ally of Allah, he's the ally of the shaitan.
قال أراغب أنت عن آلهتي يا إبراهيم لئن لم تنته لأرجمنك واهجرني مليا.
He the father said, do you reject my gods, O Ibrahim? If you stop not this, I will indeed stone you. So get away from me safely before I punish you. Other tafasir, they said that he said that I will start swearing at you and using the words that hurt you. Rajm also has that meaning. The rajm can also happen in words. So he threatened his son by saying that I will stone you or speak ill against you and cast you away.
قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا.
Ibrahim said, peace be upon you. I will ask forgiveness of my Lord for you. Verily, he is to me ever most gracious. Now, Ibrahim at that time, alayhi salam, did not have the knowledge of it being disallowed to do istighfar for his father. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he tells us in his glorious book that we had a great example in Ibrahim and those who believed with him. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. There was a great example. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said towards the end of this verse, he said, إِلَّا قَوْلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ وَمَا أَمْلِكُ مِنَ اللَّهِ لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. Except, the example was except where he sought, except where Ibrahim sought forgiveness from Allah, with Allah for his father. He said, except in this, that's not an example to follow. إِلَّا قَوْلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ لِأَبِيهِ. Except in the statement of Ibrahim to his father, that I will seek forgiveness for you. And he was disallowed from it. But it shows you the nature of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how he was. Now, it's important to understand this matter, and I'll conclude with this. And that is, my dear brothers and sisters, the matter is greater than what you and I can imagine when it comes to this belief. It's a greater matter. It's greater than the blood. It's greater than the country. It's greater than any friendship when it comes to disbelief. Because the person who is disbelieving in Allah Azza wa Jal is taking Allah Azza wa Jal to be his enemy. And it's either that you befriend the friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, or you will befriend the enemies of Allah Azza wa Jal. Here in terms of being a wali. And this is the most dangerous of betrayals that a person can fall into, and that is loving and having sympathy in the heart and allegiance to the one whom Allah Azza wa Jal has considered him to be his enemy. It's a very dangerous matter. Very, very, very dangerous. And it should be clear in our minds. When it comes to our aqeedah, when it comes to our belief, it's not based on emotion. It's not based on emotion. It's not about that, Allah, he's my brother, he's my father, she's my mother. No. It's about Allah Azza wa Jal being the judge. This is what aqeedah is all about. Aqeedah is about having Allah Azza wa Jal to be your Lord and to be your judge. In al-hukmu illa lillah. Judgment is not but for Allah Azza wa Jal. This is something that comes into even the way you feel. Even the way you feel. Love and hatred. It becomes something that is controlled by the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Becomes very, very dangerous. And this is why you find that Allah Azza wa Jal told us whom we should love and who we should hate. Why? Because at the end of the day, this is from the meaning of taking Allah Azza wa Jal as your Lord. Is that you love whom he loves and you dislike and you hate whom he dislikes and hates. And of course, this does not mean there's no relationship of da'wah. There's no relationship of kindness and gentleness when it's not in return, when it's in return to goodness. And of course, it doesn't mean that you become a vicious person who does not differentiate between the person who's at peace with you and the person who's at war with you. Between the person who is being kind to you and to the Muslims and the one who is being taking the Muslims as an enemy. Doesn't mean that. You find that Islam gives you moderation too when it comes to the people you hate and you dislike. It gives you moderation there. And it gives you even moderation with the people you love. It gives you direction. It balances things out for you. And you find, subhanAllah, with a correct understanding to this topic, you find yourself free from contradictions, free from those feelings of wallahi being of someone who is in battle with himself. And it needs to be understood carefully. So he said to his father, Salamun alayk, peace be upon you. I will ask forgiveness of my Lord for you. Verily he is to me ever most gracious. Innahu kana bi hafiya. Hafi has the meaning here of being someone who always takes care of him. So verily he's always been taking care of me. He's always responding to my dua and giving me what I ask. This is what the meaning of the word hafi means here. We'll stop here. We're at verse number 47. Inshallah, next lesson, we'll start from verse number 48. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.